Why do we look for redeeming qualities in things? This is Dr. Herbert L. Bowerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Kempo, California, with the thought for today. Why do we look for redeeming qualities in life's experiences? We feel so noble because we're looking for redeeming qualities in movies, and because we're looking for redeeming qualities in people, circumstances, and activities, and we feel so wonderful because we're looking for these redeeming qualities. And my goodness, aren't we terrific for doing that? If we live our life to the pure, all is pure. Remember that story? To the pure, all is pure. If we live our life from the point of view that to the pure, all is pure, we might just stop a minute and think, what does that mean? To the pure, all is pure. All right? To a pure person, the pure person never looks for redeeming qualities in anything, because the pure person only knows the redeeming qualities, if you want to say that. The pure person only knows the good qualities of any experience. The good person, the pure person, to the pure, all is pure. The pure person only knows purity in life. Okay? The pure person doesn't search out purity. The pure person doesn't look for the pure values of a movie or the redeeming qualities of a movie, because the pure person only sees beautiful things in a movie. Now, that doesn't mean the pure person doesn't watch a movie, but that means the pure person doesn't see the movie. He only sees those things representing his standard of purity. The pure person only sees things that represent his standard of purity. The pure person doesn't see violence in the movie, or at least he doesn't equate violence as negative. He doesn't see irascibility or improbability or things that are not done in the right way in the movie. He only sees things done in harmony, in peace, in love. See, this is something really so powerful for us. To the pure, all is pure. Now, if to the pure, all is pure, and we just already described that, what does it mean? It means, if you are pure, you attract pure experiences into your life. If you are pure, you have a veil, so to speak, over your consciousness called purity, and you can only see pure. Only that which is pure is evident around that veil, behind that veil, through that veil. You cannot see anything other than purity. Now, we have a sieve, and a sieve is something that you strain something through. You strain your tea through it so that the tea leaves don't get into the tea. And then you can drink the tea without the tea leaves. Now, a sieve doesn't say the tea leaves are bad. It just says the tea leaves are here and the tea is here. And I want the tea. And the tea leaves are not bad. They did a good job. They made the tea for me, but I choose to keep the tea behind the screen. Now, I don't even see the tea leaves. I take the tea from the teapot, I put this strainer under it, I pour the tea into the cup, and I only see the tea in the cup. And when the cup gets almost full, then I stop pouring it because I don't want it to run over. And I put the teapot back down, and I put the strainer on the saucer next to the teapot, not even looking at it, not even seeing how many leaves are in there, how many leaves would I have had in my cup if I hadn't had the strainer. I don't even think of that. That's totally irrelevant to me. However, if I do think of that, then I am in impurity. If purity is no leaves, and I'm thinking about leaves, then I'm in impurity. You see, it's very, very careful that we have to think about these things, because we have a tendency to think that all things are good. and we think that tea leaves are good, and we think, of course they are, they're good for making tea, and but they're not good for having it in your teacup to drink it with. You know, who wants to have a mouthful of tea leaves? And you say, well, actually, they're very good for you because of all of that tannic in there and all that other stuff in there and all that, you know, it sort of goes through your system and it's like a cathartic cleaning out your system. Well, I would choose to have my cathartic a different way. Mm-hmm. Not so like the tea leaf would do it. Now, again, the tea leaf is a perfect illustration because there's nothing wrong with the tea leaf. And there's nothing wrong with the coffee cup. And there's nothing wrong with the teapot with the tea leaves in it. And there's nothing wrong with the strainer. Although I am not interested in the strainer, I am not interested in the tea leaves, I am not interested in the teapot, I am only interested in a cup of tea. And so therein lies my purity. I only see the pure cup of tea. Now, when you're doing anything in life, and you judge it, then you're in trouble. Because you're empowering whatever you're judging to be something in your life. You're empowering whatever you're judging to be a reality in your life. So I'm empowering the tea leaves to be a reality. And I say, oh, how will I get rid of the tea leaves? How will I do this? Hey, I'm drinking tea. I'm not getting rid of tea leaves. I'm not worried about teapots, and I'm not worried about hot water. I'm drinking a nice cup of hot tea. See? So, can I keep my thoughts so pure and so one-pointed that the cup of tea is all that I am concerned about? And I'm sitting here drinking that lovely cup of tea, thinking to myself, what a lovely cup of tea. How good that tastes and how good that is. You know? Now, we got a little email from Gertrude Suter this morning, and she said she's singing in her choir, and she's doing all sorts of great things with her choir, and just having a wonderful time. Now, what is she really doing? What is she really doing? Is she really having a wonderful time, or is she having something else? What is that for you and for me? What are we thinking about these things? How are we thinking about our activities that we're doing in life? Are we thinking about the activities that we're doing in life as being something very special and very wonderful and very powerful and very important? Mm-hmm. You wonder about that, don't you? Yeah, I do too. So, here I am flashing through my email, looking for her email, and it should be here shortly. Because she just wrote it this morning. It was the last one. Oh, there it is. And she writes, Beloved Herb, thank you so much for your email. I am very busy with singing. Yesterday we sang with our choir in Basel at the special Christmas festival. It was very cold, and I say that because we had to sing outside. Today we have our big concert in the Zollernberg, Little Kirchberg. With 450 listeners. Not bad. She says, I think of you often and say, I love you. Love, Gertrude. Now, what is she doing?
Being outside and having fun.
Now, why did she mention that she sang outside in the cold? She mentioned that she sang outside in the cold because she sang outside in the cold. Now, she wanted me to realize that it is cold weather in Zurich now. And Switzerland and Bern and Basel. And nonetheless, her choir goes out and sings outside. Here we come a caroling in the snow. Here we come a caroling, and there inside we go for our hot cup of tea, for our hot cup of tea with no tea leaves in the tea. It's a hot cup of tea. And you see, that's what she's doing. And Rosalie in Auburn, she writes us from Switzerland about her wonderful experience, and she tells us that, guess what? Her wonderful son, Thomas, who's now got himself a wonderful job in Germany, gave her 500
Euro
dollars, you know, that she can spend any way she wants. And she says, her children are just so wonderful. They're doing just so many wonderful things for her. And she's just so happy. And she says, Herb, I embrace you with love, and I embrace all on campus. Now, you see, what's she doing? Did she tell me that her computer didn't work? No. Did she tell me that she had problems with her kids? No. Did she tell me all? Now, maybe there is a problem here or there, but she didn't tell me. Because to the pure, all is pure. I wouldn't see it. I wouldn't hear it. All I know is it is good and very good. And she's just having such fun. And she found on Google, on the computer, the map. And so now she's looking up Campo on the map because she's been here many times. And so she wants to see what it looks like from the aerial photography perspective. Oh yeah, there's the house, there's this, there's that. And you see, those are all good things. Those are all positive. Now, is Rosalie going through life looking for redeeming qualities? No. She is the quality of peace and beauty and goodness. Is Gertrude going through life looking for redeeming qualities? No. She sees her grandchildren and her children doing everything beautiful and good, and she praises them. And whenever she feels like it, she just reaches in her wallet and pulls out a wad and gives it to them and says, here, forget it. Enjoy yourself. And they say, but Mom, we're 40 years old. We're 50 years old. Mom, you know, you shouldn't do that for us. Thank you very much. We accept. You know, and Mom said, I do it because I want to, not because I have to, not because you need it. Because I'm not creating you in my life as needing anything. I'm just creating you in my life as enjoying everything, just like I do. And that's called spread the wealth, you know. Mm-hmm. And how lovely that is. Now, is that a redeeming quality? That's just the reality, isn't it? Okay. So, as you go through your life, just remember, are you working on the cup of tea? Or are you working on the tea leaves, or the strainer, or the pot, or the hot water? Or what are you working on? Are you working on the finished product, the ideal finished product? What is your reality? To the pure, all is pure. So see everything pure, which is your choice to do. And you make it a habit to see everything pure, and then pretty soon that's all you ever see, is everything pure. One of the famous newspaper men one time said, I never met a man I didn't like. I've never met a man I didn't like. Mm, now, isn't that to the pure, all is pure? I've never met a man I didn't like. And he was a very wonderful philosopher in any ways, and just a great thinker. And but he said, I've never met a man I didn't like. Now, isn't it interesting? His name doesn't come to me, but his phrase does.
Maybe it was you.
Maybe it was me. Well, it is me because I'm saying it. But yeah. The thing is, this is very beautiful. Each one of us, as we go through life, we can say of ourselves, we've never met anyone whom we do not like. And rather, we say, positive, first person, present.
I love everybody.
I like everybody. I find my world filled with people whom I love and bless and enjoy and delight in. Now, how about that? We can do it. And you see, if I ask you for the answers, you come up with some pretty nice answers, don't you?
Yes.
I love you eternally.